Sellers and Makers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Gale, and
I'm Christina Schulman, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Ramona with Quick to Stitch, and we're so excited. So thank you so much for coming on to chat with us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, we're so excited. So Ramona, you're, I guess, newer to me. You were recommended to us by one of our friendly, awesome vendors that comes to Everything Embroidery Market every year. And I'm so excited that she recommended you. So thanks for coming on. Real quick, before we jump into the interview, if you guys are not familiar with Everything Embroidery Market. Everything Embroidery Market is a trade show that we hold a couple times a year throughout, I guess, different locations, almost every time. Our next location will be in Lafayette, Louisiana, March 3rd through 5th. And it's a trade show where we have a vendor floor set up with awesome vendors all across the industry. And at the same time, we've got over 50 classes that offer different parts of the industry, just to teach you guys different aspects going on at the same time that that vendor floor is open. So if you haven't had a chance to go over to eemshows.com, you can check the full lineup of vendors as well as all of the classes that we have to offer. We love Everything Embroidery Market, obviously, or we wouldn't be here. It's a place to connect with vendors, network, get to know people that are like-minded with you, and Ramona's going to be there. So Ramona, tell us a little bit about you and your business, Quick to Stitch.
Well, Quick to Stitch actually started out with a whole different name about 12 years ago. And of course, you know, that name did not describe what I was doing. So I got to thinking and I thought, you know, what am I doing? I'm digitizing for somebody who has a job they need to get done, and they need to get it done fast. So Quick to Stitch.
Perfect.
You need to stitch fast. I'm Quick to Stitch. Sorry, I need to get a haircut.
No. So
yeah, that started about 12 years ago, and it evolved and migrated. About 9 years ago, I picked up the name Quick to Stitch. And I was looking for a creative outlet. I started out with quilting. I was making quilts. I even had a robotic quilter because I hated the quilting part of it. I liked making the pieces, but I hated the quilting. So I had a robotic quilter. And then I was doing a quilt for a competition, and I needed an embroidered rose on these squares. Well, I didn't have the capability of doing it. So I sent the fabric off to somebody who said, I can embroider roses for you. And she sent it back, and it was the most terrible thing I'd ever seen. It was. And my first thought was, oh my God, I could do so much better. So I started searching for embroidery digitizing software, having no clue where to start. Found a couple of freebie softwares, and you know what they say, you get what you pay for. But it was a start. It convinced me that with better tools, I can do better things.
Yes.
And then I found a software that came with an online teacher, actually apprenticed under that teacher for 3 years. Which was awesome, because I not only got to learn the software, I not only got to learn how to digitize, because, you know, digitizing is its own form. I actually got paid to create designs for her, which was awesome. And then my dad got sick. I could not meet my obligations to the company that I was working under. So I told them, I'm going to have to leave. And then, of course, you know, worked through my dad's illness, everything got better, and I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. What am I going to do? And I'm working through the Facebook groups, and somebody said, I need somebody to do this. I said, I can do that for you. And that was the start of it.
That
That
was
was
the
the start
start.
of it. I
Yes.
said yes, and they said, well, how much? I said, I don't know. Let's figure that out. And, again, my pricing has also migrated and evolved over time. But yeah, that's how it all started. Click to stitch.
I love
Started out with me saying, I can do that.
it. I love
So,
that you said yes.
yes.
Yes. You said yes. That's awesome. And I think that that's a common thread for a lot of people in our industry is they saw something that they love to do and they were like, or they loved an end product and they said, I can make that.
Yep.
Maybe I can make it better or cheaper, or I think it would be fun to make it. And then that evolves somehow to a business because they're passionate about it. And then you said yes.
Now, to go back to the quilting, because remember, I started all of this with quilting. I haven't picked up a quilt piece in 12 years. I still have the dream of making this rose motif kind of quilt. I have all the fabric. It's the only fabric I kept out of my fabric stash. And maybe when I retire someday.
You can come full circle and you'll have your rose quilt that's done
Yes.
well.
Yeah, to your standards.
Yes, exactly.
But it was a start. That's what you're, I love that that's your story. You started with
And I feel
quilting,
like,
now you're in digital.
yeah, I feel like so many people have that type of story where they started with one thing and then it just kind of led into what they're doing now. It's not that they're necessarily doing the same thing. I mean, it's in the same industry,
Right, I'm
but
still playing with threads.
yeah, it evolved.
And just like with the quilting, where I loved doing the precision of the piecing, which is what I really liked about that. To me, the actual putting together your quilt sandwich and stitching it all together, that was like the file work of quilting. In the office, nobody wants to put the files away. And my quilting didn't want to do the topping. So I made it as easy as I could with the whole robotic quilter. In digitizing, I love the digitizing, the creativity of laying threads exactly where they need to be to create what you want to create. And this is going to sound terrible, but I don't necessarily care to quilt or to embroider on anything.
I
Yes,
don't think.
I test stitch all my work, and I'll make, embroidered items as gift items. But
I
I
don't
don't
think that
need
sounds
to.
terrible. I don't think that sounds terrible because each person has a different part that
That they
they
like.
enjoy. I started with embroidery and I started doing appliques and stuff for my kiddos, and I enjoy doing it for my kids. But I can't imagine doing that as a business anymore, doing applique for kids. I love to see them. I think they look great, but I just can't think about that. I'll do the names all day long. But it's funny because that's where I started, and you
Right.
know that now because you've been in the industry and you've done what you enjoy. And once you've found that, it's almost like, I don't, why do the other part?
You find your niche.
You found your niche.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I'll do production pieces. I like to keep it into small production. I don't want to do 1,000 hats. But I know that there are people out there that enjoy working the 1,000 hats. They like watching the process of the precision of loading the hat onto the machine, or if you have a multi-head machine, loading all the heads exactly the same, so that the stitch out happens exactly the same, and the precision and the fine tuning of that. That's what they enjoy, and they love watching the process of seeing how that develops. And the satisfaction of knowing they're doing an awesome job, and the satisfaction of knowing that they just provided something to their customer that they can be proud of. I did this. This is awesome. I'm giving it to you, or I provided this to you. Now you can share it and you can take pride in the finished product.
Yep.
So, and that's wonderful. I do the same thing with the digitizing, but it isn't necessary for me to do the production.
Correct.
To have that same endorphin of the quality of the work that I do.
Yes.
So
I have a question. So aside from the actual stitching, that's not your favorite, is there a portion of digitizing that maybe even it's just a technique inside digitizing where you're like, no, I'd rather do this. Oh. So some digitizers, you know, they're all like all satin stitches. Like that's their thing. You know, where is that? What's your favorite and what's your least favorite part or thing to digitize, I guess?
I really enjoy all the different techniques of digitizing, applique, freestanding lace, you know, just your standard four-piece logo. Every once in a while, I'll get a piece that's like really different. I did a set of, it's the Death Head Moth, and it was a three-dimensional piece that she put in like a shadow box, and that's how she sold it. That one was totally different. It's not, you know, it's not something you see every day. So I like all of that. The one part that I don't like, which is not part of my wheelhouse, and I don't think it ever will be, is taking a photograph and making a realistic rendition from a photograph.
Yes.
I have, you know, people love to have, you know, their embroidery of the, you know, picture of their dog or their cats, their horses, their boats. Mm-hmm. I could probably manage the boat, but I cannot for life of me make a dog in thread look like a dog in a photograph. It's just not in my wheelhouse. So what have I done for that? I have, and I still do, somebody post a picture that shows a really good rendition, I'll reach out and ask who the digitizer was. And then I'll reach out to the digitizer and say, listen, I'm a digitizer, but this is totally out of my wheelhouse. Can I use your name? Can I put your name and contact information on a referral sheet that when somebody comes to me with a request for a photo to be digitized, I can say, I'm sorry, it's not in my wheelhouse, but here's a list of people.
Yes.
And I tell them, I haven't vetted them. I haven't looked at anything. It's just like, no, right. I caught their picture and reached out to them. So
I think that's amazing that you know what is in your wheelhouse and what's not, because a lot of people are afraid to say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. And then they put out work maybe that isn't something that they're as proud of. And you've set that boundary and you say, you know what, that's not my thing. But you're also willing to help someone find that person that it is their thing. You're willing.
Now, and there's a bit of a risk with that because, you know, if it's a new customer, client, somebody that you're not familiar with, they might just think, well, this person over here that she's referring to me, if they can do a photo, they must be a better digitizer and I'll go work with them. Okay, so that's the risk. But I know that I put out a superior product. Mm-hmm. And I know that my fee structure is fair. And I know that if somebody's going to go someplace else, it's not because I did poor quality. It's right. Because they made that decision. Well, it's like when your customer goes into Target to do shopping, well, maybe they don't buy the decorative pillow here, but they go across the street and buy it at another store. It's not because they don't like yours. They just like that one a little bit better.
Right. Or another reason, maybe it's closer to their house. Maybe it's maybe a little cheaper. Maybe they had four pillows and you only had two, you know, like there's right. Different reasons why people go and shop around, but the industry is big enough for all of us.
Everybody.
Yes.
It is. I totally agree with that. And I am not one that's going to say, no, I can't tell you that because, you know, if I tell you that, you're going to leave me.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
So that's like an instant rapport building, you know, they're going to trust you. They're going to trust you because you set that boundary, you stuck to your boundary, and then you still help them. And they're like, so that next project, maybe that other person can offer it, but they're going to think about you. You said you helped them with their problem and that problem was solved.
And I've been accused of being a closet teacher. Next year I'll actually get to teach.
Yay!
I do that all the time. Somebody has a question and I'll pop off and answer. This is what I think. Here's a thought I want to share with you. Or they'll come to me directly and say, okay, what do you suggest I do with this? And I tell them, in this situation, this is what I do. Give it a try. If it works for you, wonderful. If you want to tweak it a little bit, it's yours to do with as you please.
Yes. So. Well, and let's face it, in this industry, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Sometimes, you know, you can get the same, close to the
you
same.
Heard that.
I'm not going to skin your cat. there's, you can have a similar end result, but go about it two completely different ways. And you, just because it works for you, it may not work for someone else. And that's totally okay.
Yes. And I agree. There's more than one path to the same destination. Mm-hmm. And I'm all
for it. Sometimes it's listening to everybody's and then coming up with your own.
Yes. I used to, when I worked in the corporate world, I worked in a cubicle farm, you know, big warehouse building that had, you know, little 4-foot wall cubicles that everybody sat in. At one point, I was part of the training team for the new hires, and I would tell them, here, let me show you how this is done, how I do it. And please, all I ask is that you work with this for a while, give it a, you know, 30 days or so. And then if you feel a little more comfortable with what you're doing, but you think the process would be a little bit smoother for you if you did this first instead of that first, that's fine. All I ask is that you just learn it this way, work with it, and then make it your own.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And you never know unless you try something, you know.
Yeah.
You got to try it. That's the first step. Yeah. We've talked about that a lot on these podcasts and through some of our lives that we do. I think the hardest part to doing anything is that first step of actually saying yes.
Mm-hmm. And, it is.
And doing it. Just
it is.
Yeah.
And then the one really wonderful thing that happens when you say yes, especially if you're not used to it, you say yes, you do it. If it doesn't quite work, you'll tweak it out. You've learned something, but ultimately you've built some self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I said yes, I was scared to death. I did this, it didn't quite work, so I did it again, and it worked out beautiful.
Yes.
And they're extremely happy with it. Look what I did.
Yeah. Absolutely. So confidence building, and then also that pride in yourself, right? Like, I created that, and it wasn't right the first time. I changed it. Now it is, and I'm proud of it. And here it is for the whole world. So it's exciting.
And it is exciting. And, you know, that's what I love about this. This industry lets you do that. Corporate world wouldn't let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate world says, this is how it's done. This is what you need to get done in a set amount of time. If you do that, you'll get a paycheck. If you don't do that, we're going on to the next person.
Yep. Yep.
I love this industry because you make it your own.
Yes.
And you do the building, and you do the structure, and you get rewarded for it, whether it be in dollars or just pride in what you do.
No, I was going to say, the beauty too of this industry and getting into it is that you can start in one place and end up in a different spot. And yet you've been in it the whole time and finding your niche and what you're great at and what you love. And also, just because you're in it right now doesn't mean you're not going to end up in another place in a few years.
Exactly. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it also prevents you from getting bored or feeling, you know, just like you're stuck in one spot, because you don't have to be. You're able to move and change with different things that become available and trends. And, you know, there's always a new product or platform or, you know, all the different software and machines. Like, you could say, like, I love doing this, but wow, look at, you know, some of the new stuff that came out.
In my path, and I work from home, so, you know, I don't get out much, don't have much of a life. But when I go to trade shows, you see, oh my God, look at the direct-to-film transfers.
Yeah.
I saw a machine once that was actually printing on fabric. You loaded the shirt. Oh my gosh. You know, and in the home industry, Cricut and Silhouette. What, you know, what can you do with those? Everything.
Yeah, what can't you do is more of the question.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. What can you not do with these machines?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Well, and like your story said, you said you started, you stopped because your dad, and then you picked it back up. Just actually, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, one of our customers who was with us at the very beginning, she stopped because she had a baby. She posted I saw it on Facebook or something, because I like to follow our customers. I think it's fun to watch their journey. And she said, you know, my one baby turned into three babies, but I'm back. And you can just pick it up, you know? You pick it up when you're ready, when the season's right, when the time is right. And it's almost like riding a bike. There may be something new, but that came out, but you can always come back to it. It's a skill for a lot of us. It's almost like therapy because we enjoy it. And if you have to step away for a season, it's still there when you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's the passion is always there. You may not be able to act on it right now at this moment, but that passion doesn't go anywhere. It might evolve, it might change, it might fine tune itself, but it's still there and it's waiting for you, and it will wait for you. And when you're ready, it'll be there and it'll take you to the moon and back.
There you go.
Yes, yes.
Inspiration.
I test stitch everything that I do because, you know, one, it gives your customer and your client confidence that what you're giving them is going to work.
Right.
And the other, it proves to me that I didn't make a mistake and I need to.
Right.
And I'm working on, for the class, I'm working on a freestanding lace butterfly light catcher to hang in the window.
That'll be really cool.
It's over there drying right now.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Hey, let's talk about your class a little bit. You said your people have told you you're a teacher at heart. So at Everything Embroidery Market in Lafayette, you're going to be teaching a class, and it's three embroidery techniques, digitizing of three embroidery techniques. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I am one of the hot trends right now is freestanding lace earrings. And I know that there's a lot of creators out there, a lot of stock designs, a lot of people out there that are doing this and selling their design files. But, you know, what about the person that has an idea in their head and they want to make it happen? They have the software, they know how to use the software, but they don't know how to provide or how to do the technique or what has to be done, or they try to do it and it falls apart on them. I want to teach users how to create freestanding lace. It's a technique that does not use fabric. It's built all on thread. Yes, you still have to use a stabilizer, but it's a stabilizer that actually washes away. It melts away in water. And what you have left is just thread. Thread that has woven and knitted itself together in your stitches to hold itself together.
And create a beautiful product. Yeah.
And there's techniques to that. Things that, you know, you can't just take a design file that you like and put it on this wash away stabilizer and have the product sit there and do exactly what you want. You have to know the pathing. You have to know the underlay. You have to know the densities, the compensations. And those things are easy once somebody tells you. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell you how to make freestanding lace for yourself.
Yes. You tell them the formula.
Yeah. And well, you've already done all the troubleshooting. So
yes. So I just need to tell you.
Yeah. How to do
about
it.
About bridges and planks. You know what bridges and planks are?
Like
workout? I'm thinking about like working out things. So it's probably not the right one.
See? And then I'm going to teach you about foundations and structure. We're going to throw a little mylar in there. Love mylar.
Yeah.
So sparkly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to include a second file that I just finished. It's also in there drying. Little gnome earrings. And, you know, a gnome's got that big pointy hat, right? A little bit of a mustache. And then this big full beard.
Yes.
On our gnome earrings, the big full beard is fringe.
Awesome. Ooh. That's awesome. And that's a newer technique that people are getting super excited about. I see a lot of people that will see a picture and they're like, what is this? Never seen it before. And I love that you're going to be talking about that because there is a technique for that.
And there is, because if you don't handle the thread correctly, the thing that makes it fringe is you cut away the bobbin thread on the back, mm-hmm. and then you pull it to the front. If you don't handle that correctly, all of your stitches are going to fall out.
Right.
You cut that bobbin thread and you go to pull the stitches to the front. Well, the whole thing's going to fall, you know, pull away. So there's a technique to it. And that's what we're going to talk about at class.
You gotta take the class.
Now, you know, it's probably something you could find anywhere. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they don't want somebody just to say, well, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. I'm the type of person that'll say, this is what needs to be done, and this is why it needs to be done. In my class, we're actually going to talk about, the very first thing we're going to talk about is how a machine makes a stitch and why that is important with freestanding lace.
And I think that's such a, for me, that resonates with me because to me, like, I feel like when I fully know something, like, I don't want to just know how to do it. I want to know kind of like the why behind it, because then it also helps me troubleshoot later. If I have done something incorrectly, it helps me work all the steps backwards and maybe looking into it a little more, which I know everybody learns differently, but that really resonates with me. And I find it very interesting. And
I like the building of it too, right. You know, understanding the structure of the technique.
Mm-hmm.
I actually digitize in three different softwares, and I'm currently learning two more. Because each of these softwares has a function or a technique that is featured in the software that isn't available in the other softwares. So even though freestanding lace can be created in any software, and I will teach it in, you know, to be created in any software you happen to have. In class, I will be using the Stitch Artist 1 and 2 because I know that a lot of our home consumers, our home users, use Stitch Artist.
Right, which is in Brilliance.
Which is in Brilliance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I will be teaching in Brilliance, which technically is one of the softwares that I'm learning how to use. So by March, I'll be really good at it.
Yes, yes. Hey, and you know what? I love that you're starting from the back, like the bones, and then you're adding in all the different techniques. You can use it in a different software if you don't want to, or if you don't have in Brilliance, that's totally yes. fine. You can take what you learn in the class and then bring it home or to your machine and tweak it. Again, make it your own, figure out what works best for you. But this is the backbones. Here's the why. You're presented information and then you do with it what you want. And just quickly, I double checked before I said this because my brain's all over the place, but your class is going to be at 5:30 on Saturday, which I feel like is a really great time. It's the last class of the day, but that means it's going to be fresh on your mind when you go home to or to your hotel room or wherever you're staying for the night, and you can really let it sink in. You take those notes, go eat some good dinner because we're going to be in Louisiana and there's good food. I'm excited about it, but I feel like it's going to be a really good class that you don't want to miss. So yeah, sign up.
I agree. And just as a bonus with the class, they'll get access to both the files that I'm creating. And I want to do this because I want them to take it home and I want them to stitch it and watch it and see the physical progression of what they're doing. And they can, you know, they can see, I'm building the file in different color stops so that the machine will stop when this function is done, so you can look at it and analyze it before going on to the next function. Yeah. So that's awesome. Oh, and the handouts, there's always a handout.
Well, that's awesome. That's perfect though, because that's what people need. That means that they'll be able to sit and fully take in what you're saying, take notes, go home, work on it, check back with their handout. And then you don't just have Quick to Stitch, you're doing YouTube.
Coffee and conversation.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about that. So after the class, you can find Ramona here. Talk about it. Well, we got it.
Conversation.
Yes.
On Saturday mornings, and it's evolving because, you know, it's a new thing. I'm going to put you guys back. Sorry. It's evolving. On Saturday mornings, I do a live broadcast. It's only about 30 minutes. I don't want to take up your whole Saturday. But we talk about different things. Talk about business. How do you find that new client? What kind of marketing strategies are there? We talk about equipment, embroidery machines, heat presses. What do you look for in an embroidery machine? Well, it depends on what your goals are. Are you wanting to just take care of the grandkids and do little Mickey Mouse on their shirt? Or do you want to go into full commercial production? And we talk about that. This week, as I said, I'm learning different softwares. This week, we're going to talk about those different softwares. I'm going to put them all on the screen. I'm going to show you what I like about each one of these. So that's this week. What else do we talk about? Business, digitizing, embroidery items, products. you know, we showcase a product. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you ladies are aware, but Floriani has come up with a product called the High Loft Stabilizer. It's a water-soluble stabilizer, and what it does is it raises up the stitch, so you got more thread going over, and then when you wash it away, that stitch just kind of stands up and stays tall.
Perfect for towels and minky, and yes.
Perfect for towels and minky, and freestanding lace ornaments.
Yes.
You know, makes that big, big dimensional stitch so that, you know, it just kind of sticks out. There's so many things you can do with it. But that's what we do on Copy and Conversation. The next evolution, and it probably won't happen until after the new year, once a month, I want to bring my viewers into the live. And we actually sit here and have a face-to-face conversation. You know, when you do a streaming, a lot of it is you get a written comment from the viewer. You address that comment. You make a reply comment to it, and then you're waiting for the next comment, and you're filling up airspace, and there's an 8-second delay. I want a true conversation, and to do that is I need to bring you people in.
Yeah.
I need to see your faces. Want you to lift up your cup of coffee and you know, sit back and let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
And this all goes back to my mother when I was a kid, and we didn't see it so much during the school year, but in the summer. You know, in my day and age, if you were under the age of 18 and living in your parents' house from 7 a.m. to about dark, you were outside running the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was a safer place then. But while we were outside running the neighborhood, Mrs. Marsh from across the street came over. Mrs. Davies from next door came over. And they're sitting at the coffee, you know, sitting at the kitchen table, having coffee and conversation.
Yep.
Yes. Well, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, we need people. We need to communicate. You clearly are very knowledgeable on this industry. You love to help people, obviously, too. You know, and in order to do that, you have to talk. And I feel very strongly about that. I love that you're coming to EEM because that's what it is about. Actually seeing, touching, feeling, interacting, hearing what other people have to say, forming your opinions based on everything that you've learned and taking it home, growing a little bit, coming back and having more conversation. Hey, I tried that. This worked for me. You know, it's not just a one-time, like, you know, I watched a video somewhere and, you know, it's gone. It's an evolving process.
And that's what I want. I want it to continue. If 6 months down the line, you're working on this and you don't quite remember exactly what's going on, I want somebody to be able to come back to me, whether it be by email, by messenger, by whatever means of communication, and say, listen, we did this, but I can't quite get it made. And then I'll start asking questions and you'll answer those questions. And I'll say, did you do this? And you'll say, no, I didn't. And I'll say, well, give that a try. Maybe it'll work.
A true conversation.
Mm-hmm. A true conversation.
Yes.
I think one of the things, you know, with our whole internet-based social media world that we're living in right now, I think one of the things that's missing is conversation. People to people. So I miss that.
Yes.
And I think that's also a hard thing about when you're working from home. Like, it's wonderful to be able to have that, but then you also like the water cooler conversation or whatever. And it's it's not that it's even anything important. It's just the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Did you see Game of Thrones last night? This was ages ago. Well, yeah. I miss that. I miss that not being in the corporate world. In my home, I have my cats.
We can talk to cats.
and they actually talk back. But I don't get out because I'm so into my work. I get up in the morning, I make the coffee, I sit down, I do my emails, I do all the business aspect of my work. It's structured.
But you found a solution here. You found a solution. You said, I'm going to bring you into the conversation. I missed this. So we're going to try this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it works, wonderful. If it doesn't, I'm sure you'll figure out something else, something else to try.
Yeah. Exactly. One of the other things is I'm very comfortable in my setup. So I'm not looking for new equipment. I'm not looking for anything new to bring in. What I'm wanting is I want the social networking. I don't see that happening as much with the bigger shows like Impressions. Dax is another show I go to every year. Dax has a little bit of it, but it's still more focused on the commercial. I used to go to EEM. Sorry, I always want to throw the extra M in there. But it changed, and I wasn't liking the change, which is what I'm really excited about your events. But that's what I want. I want the social that goes with it, the in-person social. Yeah. Yes, I want to take some of these classes and see what other people are doing because, you know, I'm a knowledge gatherer.
Yes.
I gather knowledge and then share it back out again.
Yes.
But I also just want to say, hi, I've seen you on Facebook or I watch your YouTube. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yep. And we have a following that goes show to show and they may not see each other between the shows. I'm sure they're Facebook friends or whatnot, but they don't see each other in person until they go to the next show and they meet up, they enjoy it. And what have you done since the last time I saw you? And sometimes they'll bring a new friend in the group and then they join. And it's so fun to see these different groups of people that, I mean, you know, they may not even be talking about anything to do with the industry, but they are there. They were brought together by a passion.
A common interest.
Right. A common interest. And they're here and they are learning and they are taking classes and they are talking to vendors and other people, but they're also enjoying their time. And then they go home and they can continue on or be excited and try something new or whatnot. But I love to see that. And I love to see people every 6 months or so. And I'm like, hey, Wanda.
That's why I'm so excited. I missed your shows this year. It wasn't until you were presented on another podcast that I follow that I heard there's new people.
Yes.
New people?
Yes.
Oh, I got to go check this out.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here and you're coming. And I know your class is going to be a hit. And I can't wait to hear your perspective of the other classes that you take and are awesome vendors. I mean, that's the other thing. Not only do we have people that follow us, but we do have a great core group of vendors that are at pretty much all of them. I mean, occasionally things come up and they can't come, but they're there and they too, you know, we all believe in this and enjoy it beyond. I mean, it's about sales. It's if you're there for a business, of course, but it's more than that. Right.
No, I need to make a confession.
Yes.
I usually fly to wherever I'm going. Mm-hmm. And flying has restrictions on your luggage, right? Mm-hmm. So I never had luggage enough to buy everything I want at the event.
Yes.
I bought new luggage.
Well, we're gonna build those.
Here's what I plan to do. I plan to put everything that I'm bringing in the smaller piece of luggage and then pack that in the larger piece of luggage and then bring them both. So if I need them, I have two pieces of luggage.
You will need them.
And you're prepared. See, you're not going to be caught off guard, because we hear that sometimes. People are like, I'm leaving tomorrow and I want to buy that, but I don't know how I'm going to get it home.
You're already ready. You've thought ahead. You've planned. Perfect. Buy the bigger luggage.
Yep.
So you can buy the things that you want.
Yes.
Exactly. And be able to transport them home.
Right.
So, which, with the rate of a checked bag is what, about $35? That's still a whole lot cheaper than postage.
Yeah, right. Especially if you're buying from multiple vendors, right?
I am so excited. I have cash ready. Let's go shopping.
Let's go. Let's have a good time. Well, I think that wraps us up a little bit, and I really appreciate you coming on here and chatting with us, Ramona. I know you're going to bring a lot of value to us in Lafayette. I know people are going to be excited about your class. I can't wait to see you in person. I don't know if you're a hugger, but I am. So
well,
I will.
We can arrange that.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you guys haven't signed up, please go to eemshows.com, sign up for Ramona's class. You'll see the full list of everything we have available for you on the website. Whether you're a business owner or doing this for a hobby, we've got something for you. Not just embroidery, there's screen print, transfers, vinyl cutting, software classes, business classes. All of that is on our website at eemshows.com, and check out the full list of vendors. And we'll see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, March 3rd through the 5th. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.